Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. An organization funded by the Murdoch family has donated more than $500,000 to the campaign to overhaul Alaska's election laws. Alaskans for Better Elections wants to put an initiative on the ballot to establish a system of ranked choice voting that would make it easier to elect independent candidates. Unite America, a Colorado-based nonpartisan group that promotes more functional and less polarized government, made a $500,000 contribution to the group last week. Nick Troiano is Unite America's executive director.
Unite America is proud to support this nonpartisan effort in Alaska because it is on the leading edge of enacting political reforms that can drastically increase the choices available to Alaska voters and the voice that they have in their election.
Of the $2.5 million raised by Unite America in the first half of this year, more than half came from Catherine Murdoch. She's known as one of her family's most liberal members. She's the wife of James Murdoch, the younger son of Fox News co-founder Rupert Murdoch. The donation to Alaskans for Better Elections represents a major boost for the proposed initiative. The Alaska campaign is one of four to which Unite America has pledged support recently. It's also backing an anti-gerrymandering effort in Pennsylvania, a ranked choice voting initiative in Massachusetts, and another in New York City, which voters approved earlier this month. Troiano says Unite America is investing in new ideas, like the Alaska Initiative, that could make democracy more functional around the country.
We believe it can be not only a positive thing for elections in Alaska, but a true model for the rest of the country to follow.
Troiano says his organization could donate more money to the Alaska Initiative, depending on how the campaign evolves. Some Alaskans are calling for greater financial transparency from Hilcorp, the company seeking to buy BP's North Slope assets. Anchorage Daily News reported Sunday that Hilcorp asked the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to allow recent years of financial records to remain confidential. BP has announced plans to sell its Alaska assets, including the Prudhoe Bay oil field, to Hilcorp for $5.6 billion. The Regulatory Commission is responsible for the aspects of the transaction involving the 800-mile Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. Public comments indicate some residents want Hilcorp to open its records to ensure it has the means to respond to a costly accident in the region that includes the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The privately held company based in Houston, Texas, says disclosure could hurt its competitive advantage. Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed deep cuts to public school funding last year, but statements he made on Friday have some education advocates hopeful his next budget will reflect a different approach to schools. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Dunleavy made the comments in response to a court ruling against his administration that said school funding for this year that was passed last year is valid. Dunleavy said that regardless of the case's outcome, it won't lead to a cut in school funding this year. In a statement, Dunleavy said Alaskans need to know that the case is about the process lawmakers are using to fund education, not about how much funding education receives. He said, K-12 education spending has not been cut, nor will it be cut, regardless of what the courts ultimately decide. I dedicated a career as a public school teacher in Alaska. I view education as the cornerstone to any society and to individual futures. While the case is about the current school year, Dunleavy's statement has some education funding supporters hopeful that the governor will change his approach to school funding in the budget he proposes for next year.
Hopefully he's been listening to Alaskans about how important education is to them and is ready to have the conversation about how we move that forward and what kind of investment it takes. And we would welcome that conversation with him.
That's Sarah Sledge. She advocates for equitable, quality, and adequate education as the executive director of the nonprofit Coalition for Education Equity. Sledge says school advocates would rather talk with the administration about improving outcomes than about funding. She said she'd support Dunleavy's goal of improving reading in the state. But she says that will be impossible if the governor proposes cutting education by nearly a quarter, like he did in February.
Our school districts are not getting enough funding now. Our schools need a greater investment to be successful.
Dunleavy had proposed the cut as part of a plan to pay for a full, roughly $3,000 permanent fund dividend under a 1982 state law without proposing new state taxes. Dunleavy will propose a new budget next month, and he will have to close a more than $1 billion gap between what the state spends and what it brings in if he again proposes full PFDs. Dunleavy spokesperson Jeff Turner says the administration is still working on the education budget and that it's premature to talk about the governor's plans.
It's important to point out that he is committed to the state's education system and doing everything he can while he's governor to improve outcomes for students in rural and urban Alaska.
Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez says Dunleavy's education budget proposal last year was a non-starter. He says the governor will have to demonstrate his commitment to education through the budget proposal.
What he submits on December 15th and then what the legislature decides to appropriate and then whether or not he vetoes that, that's where the illustration of his words will come to fruition or they won't.
The legislative council sued the state after Dunleavy and Attorney General Kevin Clarkson said the money passed last year for the current school year isn't valid. Dunleavy says the case is about the concept of funding schools in future years and the appropriation process in general. Juneau Superior Court Judge Daniel Shally ruled on Thursday that the school funding passed last year was valid. Clarkson says he'll appeal the ruling. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
After almost 5 years leading the University of Alaska Southeast, Chancellor Rick Caulfield will retire next spring. University announced the news Friday as Caulfield and other university officials met in Fairbanks for a Board of Regents meeting. Caulfield took over as UAS Chancellor in 2015, replacing John Pugh. His 35-year career with the university began at UAF's Bristol Bay campus, where he taught in the Department of Alaska Native and Rural Development. After teaching at UAF for more than 20 years, Caulfield moved to Juneau in 2010 to become the campus provost. As head of UAS, Caulfield supervised campuses in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan amid significant cuts in state funding. He also oversaw the creation of a new Alaska College of Education based in Juneau. In a statement, UA President Jim Johnson said a search committee made up of people from the university, UAS campuses, and the surrounding communities will be formed to search for a replacement. Finalists will visit the campuses in the spring. Community members will also have the opportunity to weigh in before Johnson makes the final decision. Caulfield plans to retire at the end of the academic year in June. His replacement is expected to take over in July. Brewers and distillers can continue to host parties, classes, and festivals, such as First Friday, in their tasting rooms. Today, Alaska Alcoholic Beverage Control Board rejected a regulation change that would have prohibited the use of breweries and distilleries as venues for organized events. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
The Alcoholic Beverage Control Board's decision came after an outpouring of public opposition to the change. According to the board's chair, Bob Klein, over 1,000 pages of comments were submitted, but only 4 written comments supported the proposed change to state regulations.
Breweries, distilleries, wineries have been very well embraced and accepted by the public. There's no question about it.
Under current state regulations, live entertainment, gaming, and recreational opportunities are prohibited at breweries and distilleries. In August, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board announced a proposal to clarify the definition of gaming and recreational opportunities. The new definition would have prohibited the use of tasting rooms as a venue for classes, performances, parties, festivals, and other social gatherings advertised to the public. According to a memo from Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office Director Erica McConnell, the change aimed to better reflect that brewery and distillery licenses are for manufacturers, not retailers. Control Board Vice Chair Glenn Brady said that while he didn't support the proposed change, he felt that regulations for brewers and distillers should be different from bars.
It was not the intent for manufacturers to become tap rooms. The compromises that are articulated in the current statute were hard fought and in an effort to maintain a semblance of order, which is incumbent upon us as a board to maintain.
Board member Sarah Erickson disagreed. She felt that distillers and brewers had been disproportionately regulated by the state.
I'm very open to changes in Title IV and offering less restrictions on these, as I believe the public really wants this. And as a governing board, we have to take notice of that and not just ignore it and say, well, that's the law that we wrote 100 years ago and we're going to stick with that. No, we evolve and change.
Ultimately, the board voted unanimously against pursuing a new definition to prohibit social events at tasting rooms in breweries and distilleries. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
The National Marine Fisheries Service has proposed creating critical habitat sites to protect humpback whales that will extend to waters off Alaska. The Juneau Empire reported Sunday that the habitats are focused on the feeding areas of groups of humpback whales and include the area off Juneau. A Fisheries Service official says the critical habitats designation only affects federal activities and does not establish sanctuaries or preserves. The proposed changes would not affect recreational activities or private lands. The habitats cover 175,000 square nautical miles of the traditional feeding areas of three of the 14 major humpback whale populations. Officials say the groups feed in Alaska and California waters in the summer and spend the other months near Mexico, Central America, and Taiwan. Alaska officials have announced they need another 10 years to reduce air pollution by half in Fairbanks, but the deadline is December 31st. Daily News Miner reports that U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan proposed a bill to push the deadline as late as December 2028 to comply with smoke pollution standards. Representatives under Sullivan say state officials requested the bill. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says in a state implementation cleanup plan that 2029 is the earliest Fairbanks could reach federal air quality standards. State officials say a five-year extension could be requested if they do not meet the clean air quality deadline. Officials say a new plan for the clean air must be developed if the request is denied. Officials say they are already developing that plan. And finally, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin says she learned her husband was seeking a divorce in an email from his attorney. The revelation came in an interview released today with James Dobson, founder of the Family Talk Christian Ministry. He said the interview had been conducted previously. Palin says she received an email June 19th from the attorney almost 3 months before Todd Palin filed on his birthday in September. She described the filing that came shortly after their 31st wedding anniversary as devastating. Palin says they are going through counseling and their marriage isn't over. She says attorneys are getting rich off them. Looking at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island tonight, rain, lows around 40. Wednesday, rain, highs in the mid-40s. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.